Stuart. Got two microphones up here. So it's good to be with you and share with you again. It's always an honor to share the Word of God, of course, and always a joy to come here. When we have greeting time, it seems to me almost unnecessary because there's such a lot of greeting that goes on before we start the service, and then we have another greeting time afterwards. But that's just the nature of this church. It's a very greeting-oriented and friendly church, so it's just a joy to be with you again. I want to speak to you this morning on Psalm 93. It's only five verses, but I have a lot to say about those five verses, so I'll try to move fairly quickly so that we can get through. Let me just read it to you. We have it on the screen. Oh, there's the screen up the back, isn't it? The Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed in majesty and armed with strength. Indeed, the world is established firm and secure. Your throne was established long ago. You are from all eternity. The seas have lifted up, Lord. The seas have lifted up their voice. The seas have lifted up their pounding waves. Mightier than the thunder of the great waters, mightier than the breakers of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty. Your statutes, Lord, stand firm. Holiness adorns your house for endless days. Heavenly Father, we just pray that the beauty and the power of this psalm will come to our hearts in a fresh way, and that we will be encouraged not only to praise you and to glorify you, but to live our lives with confidence and faith, being untroubled by the things around us and the things that go on inside of us as well. Holy Spirit, speak these words to our heart in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this psalm assists us to maintain or regain perspective, which can often be blurred or lost, as it says up there on the screen. There's a lot of trouble going on in the world today. But then again, there's always been a lot of trouble going on in the world. I can remember lots and lots of troubles through my life, through our lives. And I suppose it's just what happens. But the trouble troubles us. And we need to, every now and again, get our perspective back and to see what really is going on and where things really do sit. And that perspective comes through the Word of God, and that's what this psalm is about. It's to give us perspective. And what better perspective can we have than the Lord reigns? The Lord reigns. What confidence does that bring? But let me just break open this psalm in just a moment. But before we get there, I was on a master's course in Melbourne at the Melbourne Uni, and we were doing Christianity and culture, and our lecturer was taking us through various aspects of culture and how Christianity integrates with this or needs to integrate and how we are to respond to various things. And in doing this, he took us to the art gallery of Melbourne, and we were looking through there and looking at these magnificent works of arts that many of us would have seen over the years in various books or on television or whatever. But then he brought us to one huge piece of art that was just simply a blank white painting. Large, but nothing on it. It was just white. And the lecturer began to describe in terms that, you know, how art lecturers tend to go on about, you know, that the texture, the lighting, the thought, the intent, the time, and he would go on and on and on about this. Standing at the back of the group was my co-friend, Church of Christ minister, and myself, And we were looking at this painting and we were trying to get something out of it, but we kind of were nudging one another and said, we just can't seem to get anything out of this. It's just a plain white painting. Now, if you happen to be at university and you're an art student, you'll probably think this is, you know, horrendous what I'm saying here right now. But my friend and I just could not see what the art teacher was seeing. And there's a little metaphor in that, because so often when things around us are troubling, we lose our perspective. We lose what's really going on. We lose our vision. We don't quite see reality. Now, some people look at the trouble and they say, that's the real world. But in actual fact, the real world is the world that is ruled and reigned, guided by God. That's the real world. Even the great philosopher Plato, in his story about the cave, was showing how that the world we see is not the real world. There's another world that's real. And that world to us, of course, through the scripture, is the world in which God reigns, the Lord reigns, in which Jesus has suffered on the cross and was raised from the dead and is coming back for his people. And he is working presently in this world. That's the real world. And we often lose our perspective. Well, this psalm is to bring that perspective back to us. And we find that the psalm is actually talking about art. This psalm is a work of art. And even its form brings us a message. So let's move through it very quickly. It's in three parts. The psalm is only five verses, but it's in three parts, verses 1 and 2, then verse 3, and then verse 4 and 5. So let's have a look at verse 1 and 2. And I think that's on the screen there ahead of time. The Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed in majesty and armed with strength. Indeed, the world is established, firm and secure. Your throne was established long ago. You are from eternity. So the first thing that this psalm tells us is that the world, that the Lord's reign and that the world are solid and secure. He is robed in majesty, armed with strength, and therefore he has established everything absolutely soundly, and there is a firm foundation in existence. And further to that, we find that his throne, that is the throne of the Lord, was established from all eternity. So not only is his throne very firm and the world he has established is very firm and sound and secure, but his throne is from all eternity. In other words, it's always been in existence. So here we have a foundation. The psalm in its first two verses is building for us a foundation so that we have something firmly to stand on. What we are standing on in the Lord himself and what he has created is firm and sound and secure. He's given us his gospel, which is sound and firm and secure. He's given us his creation, which is firm and sound and secure. He's given us his rulership, his authority, his greatness, which is sound and secure and firm. And so we stand upon this foundation. So verses 1 and 2 of the psalm are that foundation. Now, firm foundations are crucial for human security and for calmness and for good existence in this life. My wife and I were on a train trip just a few months back, and the first night of that train trip, and I was sleeping in the top bunk, so it was particularly noticeable, but the first night was very rough. The infrastructure, the rail infrastructure of New South Wales is not to be recommended, let me tell you. And so we were rocking and rolling all night long. I think I woke up at least 12 times, maybe 15 times. I couldn't really sleep. My wife didn't sleep. I had to get out of bed for various reasons, which I won't mention, but I had to also comfort my wife as I got out of the bed and try to reassure her that all was okay. Even though we were rocking and rolling, it wasn't an earthquake, it was the fact that we were on a train. And you know, As we went out into the dining car the next morning, everyone was saying, "Did you sleep last night? We couldn't sleep last night." Everybody was complaining. You know, human beings need stable ground to stand on. And when the ground is not stable, the whole of our lives gets disturbed and upset. I remember the earthquake in 1968. Some of you can remember that. I was sitting in a car. I can remember the very place where I was sitting when the earthquake came. And my car started to rock. And I thought one of the youth group was playing tricks on me by getting on the bumper bar, because cars used to have bumper bars in those days. And he was standing on it and rocking the car. And so I was turning around to tell him to get off. And when I turned around, there was no one there. And I was wondering, how was this car, you know, rocking and rolling? It was because of the earthquake, of course. And it brought to a lot of people, including myself, a sense of insecurity. But we have a foundation that is absolutely firm. In fact, the writers in the New Testament say it's firm in the heavens, but it's also firm upon the earth. And that firm foundation is the rulership of our God presently through the Holy Spirit in our lives, so much so that the psalmists speak of it in other ways, like, I think I've got this on the screen, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and my stronghold." This is what our God is. He is our foundation. He is our rock. He is our fortress. And when we are troubled, and that trouble can be about things that are going on in the world or things that are going on in our family or wherever it is, we can be, in a sense, you know, upset because of it, but we have this wonderful foundation. And reinforcing this thought in the psalm, in verses 1 and 2, the word "firm" is used. And this might be part of my overheated imagination, but verses 4 and 5 also include the word "firm." So the beginning of the psalm and the end of the psalm have the word "firm." In the middle of the psalm, there is turmoil, but on either side of the turmoil, there is the word "firm," which I think the writer, and again, it could be my overheated, you know, imagination. I might be like the, you know, the lecturer in Melbourne Art Gallery. But I'm seeing here that the author put that word in to show you that either side of your trouble, there is firmness. We have firmness. We have security. And to illustrate this further, when we were visiting Port Hedland a couple of years back, we noticed steel rings embedded in the concrete stands, caravan stands, like this. And as we drove past these concrete caravan stands, we saw these rings and began to wonder, but quickly, you don't wonder for too long because you realise cyclones come through Port Hedland and Broome and so on. So what they do, of course, into the caravan stands, they cement concrete, these pins, these rings, so that the caravans can be strapped down. And so on one side of the caravan, there's a group of rings. On the other side, a group of rings. And then the straps go right over the top and the caravan is held firm when the cyclone comes in and batters. And I think that's what the psalmist is doing here, verses 1 to 2 and verses 4 and 5. He's put this word "firm" in there as two steel rings to show you that when the turmoil comes, there's firmness on either side. You can be strapped in, as it were, and held firm when things are shaking and rocking and rolling. Okay, so we now move on to talk about the turmoil, verse number 3, turmoil and chaos, and let's read about that. That verse is up there too. "The seas have lifted up, Lord. The seas have lifted up their voice. The seas have lifted up their pounding waves." Now, in the Psalms and in the Scriptures, the seas often represent turmoil in the nations or turmoil amongst the people. So whenever you read about the seas, there's a metaphor, if you like, of turmoil. And particularly here, this is used as a metaphor. So Even in the face of our secure foundation, I've gone on about the fact that we have a secure foundation, but even though we have a secure foundation, turmoil is inevitable. Chaos is inevitable. The Bible never withholds information from us. It tells us as it is. It gives us the full story. And verse 3 says that there is turmoil that comes. In spite of the fact that there's a solid foundation, you will receive turmoil in your life. Didn't Jesus say, in the world you will have tribulation? And the psalm emphasizes this in an intensifying way in verse number 3. And I've got this on a slide too, the next slide. It says, for example, the seas have lifted up their voice, lifted up their pounding waves. Can you get the idea of the intensification? A triple mention and the use of the word lifted up 3 times. The seas have lifted up. They've lifted up their voice. They've lifted up their pounding waves. It's the idea is that there's an intensification, a heaviness that comes through the turmoil that's all around us or that comes to us in our lives from time to time. And so we find that there's a little metaphor in each of these when it speaks about the lifting of the seas. This is, as I said, the upheaval among nations, but it also may apply to us in general and personally. And then when it talks about the seas' raised voices, this might talk about voices that trouble us, inner voices of anxiety, inner voices of fear or of condemnation, or outer voices of criticism or accusation or employers' words or doctors' words or friends' words that may cause us bewilderment and despair. Voices are often the source to us of trouble and turmoil. Some voices we wish we had never heard. And while I'm talking, some of you can probably think of some words that were spoken to you even just recently or maybe years ago that have greatly troubled you and still troubled you. Voices. And so turmoil has lifted up its voice. And then thirdly, it says turmoil has lifted up its pounding waves. And the idea is here that this is turmoil that actually affects your life, that which pounds you, sickness or whatever it happens to be, breakdown in relationship or grief or whatever it is. It has actually affected you and it's pounded you. And so here we have this picture of the seas lifting up, the seas speaking with their voice, and then the seas pounding with their waves. And what we have here on the screen is a illustration of the psalm from the bottom up, verses 1 and 2, and then verse 3. We have this building up. First of all, the foundation's laid, but then we find a whole layer of turmoil. And this is the picture beginning to unfold. And so then we move on to part 3 of the psalm. The Lord is mighty. Now, the interesting part about this verse number 4, is that it says, mightier than the thunderous waters, mightier than the waves, the Lord on high is mighty. And so do you notice anything about this? It's another triple mention. So verse number 2 was a triple mention, or verse number 3, I should say, where the waves were lifted up, the waves lifted up their voice, the waves lifted up their pounding waves. And now it's saying, but he is mightier than the thunderous waters, mightier than the waves. The Lord on high is mighty. And so we have a triplet of trouble, but we have a triplet of the might of the Lord in answer to that. And wherever you see triplets in Scripture, you find that it's the Lord showing his opposition to something that has come against. For example, let me try to explain this by giving you the illustrations. Jesus was tempted how many times? 3 times. Jesus came back at Satan, how many times? 3 times. 3 times Satan said, do this, do this, do this. Then Jesus came back and said, but it's written, but it's written, but it's written. And so here you have a triplet. So where there is opposition, it's often shown in a triplet, but the answer is often shown also in a triplet coming back. And so even though your trouble may be multiplied three times over, you have this three times multiplication of the Lord's answer coming to you in His might, mightier than the thunderous waters, mightier than the waves. The Lord on high is mighty. Now, you remember also that Peter denied the Lord how many times? Three times. And how many times did Jesus say to him, then feed my sheep? Three times. So again, you see the same thing. When Paul was worried about his thorn in the flesh, how many times did he ask the Lord to remove it? Three times. And how many times did the Lord come back to him and say, my grace is sufficient to you? Three times. And so you see all the way through Scripture, and that's just three examples, this multiplication of three attacks, if you like, of the enemy or turmoil or trouble, but then there are three answers that come back in the power of the Lord to absolutely overwhelm that trouble. And so here we have the psalm beginning to build, and we find that on high we have this mighty Lord who is against and victorious over the enemy. Okay, so what we discover here, in addition to all that I've said, are two solid walls of God's might that are containing the turmoil. On the bottom, we have the foundation. In the middle, we have the turmoil. And on the top, overarching that, we have the Lord's might and His grace. And so it's almost like the turmoil is guarded with two century soldiers that are guarding against the turmoil from in any way overcoming the person, the people, the world, or whatever it happens to be. And so the psalm is telling us this is the perspective that we need to see. And keep in mind also that on both of the sides of the turmoil, you have the word firm. And so our turmoil is firmly, as it were, fastened against so that we cannot be moved and we are held firm. And I like to think when you think the Lord is mighty and He's over all, that His hand reaches down to help us. And when we get stuck in the waters, He draws us out of the waters. In fact, that's exactly what the psalmist says. And I've got that verse, I think, up on the screen as well. I exalt you, Lord, for you have lifted me out of the depths. And then in Psalm 18:6, it says, He sent from on high, the Lord on high is mighty. He sent from on high, He took me, and He drew me out of many waters. And 2 Samuel 22:17 says exactly the same thing, word for word. And the psalm that we just read earlier says, I will exalt you, O Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths. So in our storms, we have the firm anchors of God's reign and God's might, the foundation and the overarching might of God. So looking from the divine perspective, above and below any chaos and turmoil, God reigns and we are held firm as we trust in Him, of course. It comes down to trust, doesn't it? By the way, it was very important that Jesus was seen to be the master of wind and waves because of the metaphorical meaning of wind and waves and the seas. Jesus walked on the waters. What are your troubled waters today? Jesus walks upon those waters. What are your storms today? Jesus speaks, peace, be still. He is the master of wind and waves. The Lord on high is mighty. And underneath Him, of course, is this firm foundation of His throne that has existed forever. And so we can say, with the last screen that I've got up here. My soul clings to you, but your right hand holds me up. Your right hand holds me up. About 20 or so years ago, I was sitting in the principal's office of a large Sydney Christian school. And just like today, we were talking about the troubles of the day, which were pretty severe. Going back even earlier, before this conversation, I can remember so well what it was like in 1963 when the Russian flotilla were coming into Cuba to deliver missiles, and the American Navy set up a barrier for them. And I tell you what, Perth, the whole world was on edge. I was working in the middle of the city at the time, and I remember we were all watching the newspaper placards because we were worried what was going to happen, what was going to happen. But getting back to my conversation with the school principal, as we were talking about the troubles of the day, the atmosphere was getting really heavy. You know how it does? When you start talking about trouble, it's almost like there's a cloud that comes into the room and you're sort of feeling, oh, you know, wonder what's going to happen. And then the school principal said to me, just kind of, you know, as a title to all that we were talking about, he said, Richard, one thing we've got to remember. He said, the Lord reigns. And when he said that, it was like the cloud just went, and I thought, of course, doesn't matter what happens, our God reigns. And that's getting perspective. That's getting perspective. You know, I see Christians all over the world very troubled. I see them even fighting. I see them even struggling and resisting and trying to bring in the kingdom in their own strength and power. But hey, our God is mighty. He reigns. We just need to keep living our lives honestly and humbly before Jesus, and he'll do the work. We don't have to worry. We just have to keep going. As Paul said, just live your life worthy of the calling you've been called. Be completely humble. Love one another. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. That's all we need to do. Not get into all these kind of, you know, struggles and troubles and fighting. And the Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns, and the Lord on high is mighty. I want to keep saying that because I'm feeling good about, you know, the fact that our God reigns. Hallelujah. Let's just pray. Father God, we thank you that when troubles come knocking on our homes, that when troubles come to our personal hearts and we start to get anxious, when troubles come to our nation and when troubles come to our world, help us to keep our perspective. Your word says troubles will come. There's no doubt about it. We have no answer to those troubles except that you reign over all and that you are working in and through all. We don't understand how you are. We just know you are. And we want to be believers, not doubters. We want to be trusters, not those who are filled with anxiety. Lord, give us your peace. Give us perspective and help us, Lord, to trust in your rulership. In the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen.
Shall we give thanks to Pastor Richard? I don't know about you, but I felt really very blessed. Five verses, but so profound and so much depth. And this is why I appreciate having pastors, preachers who have gone through the passage of time and of experience, sharing their heart and sharing their insights with us. And because this is something that Pastor Richard himself would have gone through in life. And so when he reads the Word of God, it comes alive in that way. And I'd just like to ask and give us a moment right now for us to respond to the word this morning. Perspective, keeping perspective in troubled times. And like what Pastor Richard is, I mean, all of us have gone through, some of us are going through troubled times. How do we keep our perspective? How do we keep our heads above the water? And I think there is great comfort that we can see that we have great security in the Lord. We have a firm foundation in the Lord. And when we look to Him, He will reach out and He will hold on to us as we reach out to Him as well. I want to give us an opportunity this morning right now to make your response to the Lord. In whatever situation you're in whatever circumstance that you may be in, this is the time right now that you can affirm your trust in the Lord. So would you just close your eyes right now and would you just tell the Lord, Lord, this is what I'm going through now. These are my circumstances now, and these are my feelings. Would you tell the Lord that? And I will guide you through on what to pray. We say, Lord, these are all the feelings that I'm feeling. Lord, these are all the troubles that are set before me. We say, Lord, at this point, I take my eyes off my circumstances. Lord, at this point, I take my eyes off the troubles. And right now, Lord, I fix my eyes on You. Right now, Lord, I set my heart on You. Would you now ask the Lord to renew your perspective and your vision? Ask Him to give you a new perspective and vision that is imaged and given by Christ Jesus. A new perspective and a vision. Would you now ask the Lord to revive your heart? Revive your heart with the joy of your salvation. Salvation of the past, the present, and the future. Revive our hearts, Lord. Would you now ask the Lord to strengthen your heart with His grace? Lord, strengthen us. Strengthen our hearts, O Lord. And now would you say, Lord, keep my eyes and my heart fixed on You always. That You will not look on the waves and at the wind on your left and on your right, but You will look upon the Lord and Him only. And Lord, this morning I pray, Father, that even as You have heard the prayers of Your people, Lord, as they call out unto You, Lord, would You answer them, Lord? Lord, answer them promptly and give them the assurance of Your presence in their lives. Give them the assurance that You hear them and You hear more than just what they have said. You hear their every thought and their heart. Give them the assurance that Your grace is sufficient and in fact more than sufficient for them. Lord, let them experience the power and the fellowship of Your Spirit as they go through each day. That, Lord, with whatever that they experience, Lord, let them know that Your Spirit is the one guiding them and giving them good counsel. Jesus. that you have all their paths, O Lord, paved for them and their days mapped out for them. And that, Lord, that in every situation that they may be in, Lord, let them experience and know for a fact that you reign above all. You reign above all. You are the Lord of the wind and the waves, and you walk upon the waters, and you calm the raging seas. So, Lord, would you speak your word, Lord, even into their hearts right now, and let your peace, O Lord, that surpasses all understanding, Lord, bring calm to their hearts and to their minds right now. Lord, we pray, fill your people with joy. Let them know once again and taste the joy of their salvation, Lord. Lord, would you do this for your people and lift them up, that their lips will be filled with praise for you each day, that they cannot help but to give you glory each day. We bless you, O Lord, mighty one, mighty to save. We thank you that you are our Lord, our Heavenly Father. And we ask all these now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Shall we stand and shall we worship the Lord together? Amen.